The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Tennis Anyone, our Australian Open second round coverage continues tonight. 7 Eastern on ESPN Plus, 9 Eastern on ESPN News, 10 o'clock on ESPN2 in the app. You'll see Serena, you'll see Naomi Osaka, you'll see Novak Djokovic, among all the action from Melbourne, the Australian Open on ESPN. And with that, we welcome you back to our studios here in our Seaport District at Pier 17. We're brought to you by Chase. I am Greeny. This is Get Up, and we have a huge hour coming your way here with tons of football on the menu. It is time to get up with Tampa Tom. A day removed from the title. There is one move he needs to make if he wants to run it back. We'll tell you exactly what that is. Plus, we will begin with the one thing the Chiefs absolutely have to fix to help their superhero quarterback get back on top. And the carousel is spinning. And when it stops, the entire NFL will look completely different. We're jumping on it with you in this hour of Get Up, starting right now. Because you have the thrill of victory, and for Patrick Mahomes, the agony of defeat. It was a tough Sunday night, and part of the reason was all of the pressure. 8 of 24 for 95 yards and a pick when he was under pressure on Sunday night in the Super Bowl. According to NFL Next Gen Stats, it felt like he was running for his life, and he was. He ran a total of 497 yards before passes and sacks on Sunday, the most of any quarterback in any game this season. In all, he was pressured 29 times in the Super Bowl, the most in Super Bowl history. And Mahomes says this is a loss that will motivate him for the rest of his career.
I'm going to do whatever I can to kind of look at the film and try to find ways to get better. I mean, obviously, with our offense and the success that we've had, when teams see that the defensive plan that he had and how well it worked, they're obviously going to try to do the same thing. And so try to find ways to combat that and kind of evolution of our offense where we're going to have to do better things and be more efficient.
Now, it's really interesting that he says that. And again, sometimes you have to remind yourself, he's 25 years old, even though so much about him makes us ready to call him the greatest of all time. But Jeff Saturday, as they look at that film, one of the things that they are going to see, and I'd love you to expand on this thought, is that there were opportunities there to be taken if only they had the patience and the willingness to take them. And for whatever reason, they didn't.
You're exactly right, Greeny. Listen, this team played right into the hands of Todd Bowles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. They were playing two high safeties, they were playing two-man coverage, and they were forcing Kansas City to run the ball. And Kansas City would not break their game plan. They just thought, oh, Mahomes is going to make a play. Tyreek Hill, even though he's double, he's going to find a way on the scramble drill. Kelsey's going to get open. When you saw them run the ball, they were very effective. Why? Because that's what the defense was allowing. And you have to learn to take what the defense is giving. Flash it all the way back to the Buffalo Bills game in week 6. Leslie Frazier played their linebackers at 7 yards deep. What did they do? Edwards-Helaire ran all over them. Their offense was patient. They allowed the game to come to them. There was no part of that in the Super Bowl. They just tried to force it. We talked about it before. Swagoo said it was the arrogance of what they believed they could do to Tampa Bay, and they could not do it. And listen, they did it to themselves, Greeny. You saw it in the very first drive of the second half. Edwards-Helaire has big runs. They get down, they kick a field goal, and as soon as Tampa Bay answered with a touchdown, they abandoned it, went back to the pass, and the game got way out of hand really quickly, all brought on by them not or being too unwilling to make the change.
Look, Jeff, I remember a team that got to the Super Bowl one year with Peyton Manning as their quarterback and Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison and this high-flying offense. And then what did you guys – how many yards did you run for in the Super Bowl?
A buck 90, 190 yards against the Chicago Bears. And you say it, right? Everybody talked about we were finesse, ran the ball when it mattered. That's exactly what Kansas City needed to do.
And Peyton always said, that's what was there. That's what they were giving us the opportunity to do. That's what they did. They never came out of it, Marcus Spears, and that's something I have to believe they will learn from going forward.
Yeah, they have to learn from it, G. I was, you know, listening to Jeff, and everything he's saying is right. The big fella played in the trenches, Super Bowl champion. But I just felt like the Chiefs panicked way too early. I felt like they, like,
yes.
it's almost like they responded like they were getting blown out. We looking at a score at home, 7-3. And they playing, like Jeff said, with panic and just trying to make up for everything that was going wrong with one play. And I think this team suffered from its own success and arrogance. Like, they thought that this was going to be another normal Kansas City Chiefs walk in the park. They figured they would eventually figure it out. They'll make an explosive play downfield. And we saw Patrick Mahomes under a lot of duress, but we also saw Patrick Mahomes make some throws, and the stars let him down. My co-host on NFL Live, Mina Kimes, said a few weeks ago that was so important about the Kansas City Chiefs. She said the one thing they've always been able to count on is their stars showing up in the big games. That is what has put them over the top. None bigger than Patrick Mahomes, but Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And obviously in this particular situation, Darrell Williams with the drop in the end zone. So it was just a lot of, you know, we just going to keep airing it out. We going to keep doing this, keep doing that. No line of scrimmage, no championship.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to have to address. I don't want to talk about scheme offensively. When you lose all of them O-linemen, you're going to have problems. I go to the other side of the football defensively. When they need to strap them helmets on and just defend the run, they need to be able to do it, and they couldn't do it in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But there was a moment last week, Jeff Saturday, where Dan Orlovsky came on the show and said his prediction was that Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going to run for 150 yards. And if he had done that, he certainly looked like he could have. They looked like they could have done that. And if they had, it might have been a very different outcome Sunday night.
It would have been a totally different outcome. And let me tell you, from a guy who played on some of the most productive offenses in NFL history, what Swagoo just touched on, that you feel smothered. Greeny, when you walk off, when you've kicked field goals or punted, you're not accustomed to doing that all season, right? You may go through a 2 or 3 game stretch when you don't punt it at all. Now you're watching your punter kick it out of bounds for 20 yards out of his own end zone. Like, you begin to feel just constricted, like nothing works. You start asking questions of yourself that you've never asked. Why isn't he open? Why aren't we protecting? Why isn't Patrick throwing the ball to the right guy? All of those questions hit you in the worst moment. I'm telling you, it's one of those things you can't dig yourself out of the hole. And I literally watched them walk to the sideline, seeing that facial expression and body mechanics, and you just knew it was deflated.
Graziano, what do you take away from this?
I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking about why they didn't make adjustments. And I have to think, and this goes a little bit different place. I don't want to belittle what happened and the effect it's had on the family of the little girl that's in the hospital in Kansas City, but as a father, there's no chance that 100% of Andy Reid's focus was on the game plan Sunday and the ability to make changes. So I just have to think that something like what happened with his son and that accident and the devastating consequences had to be at least some kind of factor in Kansas City and what happened there. Again, not to belittle it, not to tie a serious situation to football, but as a father, there's just no way his attention could not have been split on Sunday night.
That's a part of the story. Go ahead, Marcus. Final thought.
I thought that was a great point by Graz, and you could actually see it in Andy Reid after the game. And I believe he was more so thinking about that little girl that was in the hospital than anything. And he made mention of it. It was the first time he talked about it. But I saw that weight on Andy Reid. And to your point, like, it was a football game. It needed to be played. It was the Super Bowl. All your attention, quote unquote, is supposed to be towards that. But no way your human instinct takes you away from that situation that transpired before this game started. And I thought that was reflected on Andy Reid after the game in that press conference.
Yeah, it's something that we will probably never know and probably cannot be quantified with any specificity, just how much of an impact that it has. But it's impossible to imagine that it doesn't. And again, your point is well taken, Dan. This is not about conflating the two. One is obviously a matter of life and death, and the other is just a football game. But sometimes these things are, the effect that they can have one on the other can be interconnected. All right, we'll take a break on that thought. We have much more to do as we continue in this hour. Coming up, no time to celebrate. What the Buccaneers need to do right now, like right this minute, in order to keep Tom Brady and his bunch together for another run at this thing. Plus, the longer this goes on, how likely is it that Deshaun Watson stays in Houston? That's a question. We've got the answer. And we have a question for you as well. The poll question today on my Twitter page at ESPN Greeny. If you had to bet on who wins next year's Super Bowl, who you got? Bucks, Chiefs, Packers, Rams, and we'll allow you to go off the board. The answers are on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up, and all morning, Jeff Saturday handing out Super Bowl pancakes. Austin Ryder is next. Let's see it, Jeff.
Greeny, you know I love some center play. Look at him catch him in the crosshairs as he's trying to come off a double team. Linebackers trying to scrape over the top. Nah, David. Catch him inside hand position. Look at the foot drive. Takes him and finishes him. Puts him right in the dirt, baby. Ooh. On the NFL logo. Nothing better when they get up and they're all painted up, Greeny. You get him up, help him up, slap him as he walks back in the huddle. You look at your boys and be like, look what I just did, baby.
Their offensive line had a night to forget, Swagoo, but that was a memorable play.
That was a memorable play. Further information that they should have ran the damn ball a little bit more.
Preach.
At the end of the day, it works. Let's run the hurry up, meanwhile, with a whole bunch of NFL news and notes from our buddy Dan Graziano here. And let's start with one I'm listening closely to. What's the latest on Sam Darnold?
Yeah, Greeny, the Jets are in a really interesting position. They have Sam Darnold, who they like, still 6 months younger than Joe Burrow. They have the number two pick in the draft that they could use to trade for a Deshaun Watson, potentially, or draft a quarterback they like better than Darnold. They might be able to get something in trade for Darnold. A lot of moving pieces in New York. Wouldn't be surprised to see a change at the quarterback position there. I think we would be surprised to see a change at the quarterback position in Pittsburgh, but I'm here to tell you it's not out of the question. Ben Roethlisberger's cap number this year is $41.25 million, the highest in the league, and the Steelers have made it clear that they cannot carry that. So something has to be done. An adjustment must be made to Ben Roethlisberger's contract if he's to be on this year's Steelers team. It remains to be seen whether he and the team can work that out. And here's a player whose team needs to work something out with him pretty quickly. Deshaun Watson does not want to be in Houston. The Houston Texans are still telling teams that call about a trade that they don't want to trade him. Obviously, something is going to have to give there. This could linger into the summer. They have a new GM there. They definitely do not want to move on from Deshaun Watson. They may end up in a position where they have to, and their best move is to use him as a chip to refill their stock of draft picks. So this story will hang over the league for months.
Okay, so let me come back to you on that one there. Nick Caserio is the new general manager that we're talking about. And here's the way I look at this. If I were he, and I knew already I have to trade Deshaun Watson, I would be saying exactly what he's saying right now. I would be telling the world I'm not trading him. So
right.
Do we have any insight as to whether or not they have privately come to the conclusion that Watson is not bluffing, that he's genuinely never coming back there, and that ultimately he will have to be dealt?
I don't think that front office has come to that conclusion even privately. I think they still believe it can be patched up. The question, of course, is whether they're right, whether they're kidding themselves. But Nick Caserio took that job either knowing that this was going to happen or believing he was going to have Deshaun Watson at quarterback. Those are two very different things. And I think it's the latter. And if that's the case, he needs to recalibrate and get to a point where what's best for this franchise? Do we dig in our heels and call his bluff, or do we deal him and get the high draft picks that we've traded away, or my predecessor traded away the past couple of years?
It does make sense that he may not have known that, because frankly, it seems to have been his hiring, even if it isn't him in particular, that was the last straw here and created these problems. Marcus, what do you think?
It's irreparable. It's not going. I believe Deshaun Watson to sit out before he goes back and plays for the Houston Texans. I think this relationship is soured, and obviously is from the top in Cal McNair and ownership. So when you look at Deshaun Watson making these statements that he's made by not saying much, but also knowing that what we want, what we see him wanting his future to be, there's no other conclusion to come to. And you have to earn that opportunity to be in this position that Deshaun Watson is in. He knew that it would be high trade value for him. He knew that this was probably the right time to move along after this latest thing transpired, outside of the litany of things that have taken place before this. So I believe he'll suit up for another team next year. And if the Houston Texans are smart, didn't I just show y'all what the hell they got for that DeAndre Hopkins trade? They need some more stuff. They need to just look forward to the future. I know it's hard to let Deshaun Watson go, and it's not the right thing to let a franchise player go, but they need to let it go. This is irreparable.
Jeff, you've been saying all along you wouldn't trade it no matter what. Have you changed that perspective at all?
I don't know, not at all. Listen, if I'm a GM there, a head coach there, I get what has happened with Deshaun Watson and the owner, and literally there's nothing you can do about it, right? You're both new to this whole organization, but you understand how valuable Deshaun Watson is, and I don't mean just as a quarterback. I mean as a man in the community and Houston, and what he does not only for his locker room, but for everybody around that city and for all the fans. To give him up and to allow him to go somewhere else without sitting out games or without forcing his hand, I would continue my trying to repair relationship for the next 6 months and just explain to him, we are going to give you everything we possibly can. Set out what you have for us for you to stay here, and let's work through this process. And I think that's what they have to go to with true vulnerability and true transparency. Listen, we've screwed this thing up. What can we do to make you happy and get this thing back together, and then allow Deshaun Watson to dictate that transition, and then you have the guy that you want to build your team around. That's who you want to be running the Houston Texans in 10 years.
I get it, and we'll see. If they're able to figure that out, then great. All indications from his side are that in his mind, he's never coming back. We will take a break. Coming up, why at least two of us say that these three quarterbacks won't be winning the Super Bowl next year. Our way too early predictions are on the way. And then the answer to this question, who wants Carson Wentz? We will tell you the three teams that are at the top of the list in a possible trade for the soon-to-be former Eagle. And we got time for Sneaky, Hembo, and Graziano. Going head-to-head, here's the question. Including playoffs, which quarterback has the record for most passing yards in a Super Bowl-winning season? That's the question. The answer's next. Graziano's on the spot. ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is a good one. It is for Hembo and Graziano, including playoffs, Dan. Which quarterback has the record for most passing yards in a Super Bowl winning season? I will tell you that Tom Brady this year is second. So only one quarterback ever had more passing yards in a Super Bowl winning season, including playoffs. Who is it?
And that counts postseason and regular season passing
Correct.
Yards, as I understand it. So tricky question. Has to be somebody who played a lot of postseason games that year. I don't know the answer. I'm going to get I do think that Eli Manning's career high in passing yards was 2011, and they did play four postseason games that year. I'm going to say Eli Manning.
Oh, my God, he got it right. I cannot believe he
got
it right. No one in this room thought he had a chance. Hembo's walking off. Hembo is walking off. Graziano owns you, Hembo. He owns you. That is correct. Eli Manning in 2011 had the most. He actually wrote in the note to me, it would be so satisfying to sneak this one by him. You are an icon, Graziano, the best of all time. He's the GOAT. All right, as we continue, no time to celebrate for another fella called the GOAT, because Tom Brady has to do one thing to keep his team together right now. You'll hear what it is next. I am reeling from shock.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We're back on Get Up, and we have this breaking news into our newsroom, and it is sad news indeed. I'm sorry to report that Marty Schottenheimer has died at the age of 77, a legendary longtime National Football League coach who won 200 games during his career as the head coach in many different places. He had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease in the year 2014, his family announced last week that he had been moved into hospice care. And again, the news that he has passed away peacefully surrounded by his family yesterday. I have a lengthy list of his career bio here that I can read pieces of to you. He played six seasons as a linebacker in the American Football League for Buffalo and Boston. He became the Browns head coach midway through the 1984 season. He was there for several years. He recorded three 10-win seasons there. He went to Kansas City. He was the head coach there for 10 seasons, won 101 games, coached the Washington football team in 2001, and then spent several years in San Diego, where he was named the AP NFL Head Coach of the Year in 2004. Again, he coached 21 seasons in the NFL and won 200 games. But the story of a man's life should not be told exclusively in the things that he did at work. I got to know Marty Schottenheimer when he worked here at ESPN for a brief time before he went to Washington. He was a gentleman. He was a family man. His son, Brian, has been a football coach for a very long time. He was surrounded by his loving family, and he was one of the kindest and most interesting and hardest working people that you could ever meet. I recall when he would come and work in the morning, he would bring a blank legal pad and at our morning meeting. And by the end of the day, that thing was filled up with notes of things that he had observed and things that he wanted to teach. And nobody loved football, and no one was more interesting to talk about it with than Marty Schottenheimer, again, whom we have lost today at the age of 77. I want to bring Jeff and Marcus in here. Jeff, just a thought, if you will. Marty Schottenheimer, again, dies yesterday in Charlotte at the age of 77.
Yeah, you said it so well. Just a true gentleman, a great competitor. He coached like he played, hard nose. You heard about, you heard about Marty Ball. You know, he wanted to be physical, play tough in the trenches. And, you know, every time you went to go play against his opponents, you knew they were going to be well coached, but they were going to be classy. And I have so much respect for what you said about being a family man, a true teacher of our game, which we need so much of. And not only a teacher of football, but a teacher of how to handle yourself outside in the community. And he served us so well. He's going to be missed for sure.
Marcus, you have a thought? Marty Schottenheimer?
Yeah, it's amazing, G. I actually had a chance to sit with Coach Schottenheimer for an hour and a half, and break down film on my draft visit to San Diego when he was the head coach with the Chargers in 2005. And that was when they were transitioning to the 3-4 along with the Dallas Cowboys. And myself and DeMarcus Ware were two prospects that they were looking at, along with Sean Merriman and Luis Castillo, who they ended up drafting both of those guys. And Coach Schottenheimer, just in that meeting, he pulled up some plays. Specifically, I remember one from the Arkansas game when I was at LSU and I ran down the running back like 30, 40 yards downfield. He was like, is this the guy that I'm going to get in San Diego? I said, Coach, turn on the film from all the games. You'll see the same guy. And he said, I know. That's why you're on a visit. He said, good luck to you in the draft. So I'm leaving there thinking I'm going to San Diego. It's final. Coach Schottenheimer told me he'd come and get me. So they ended up drafting Sean Merriman and Luis Castillo. And the Cowboys with Bill Parcells drafted DeMarcus Ware at 11 and me at 20. So I see Coach Schottenheimer the following year when we play the San Diego Chargers. And I asked him, I said, Coach, how you think that draft worked out with your 2-3-4 guys versus me and D. Ware? He said, well, I sure love to have that big butt on my defensive line stopping the run like you've been doing in Dallas. So, man, he was just a good guy, man. You understood that he cared about football, and every player that played for him loved playing for him. Told me he was tough, hard-nosed, but they expected to win when Coach Schottenheimer was on the sideline. So just feel grateful to have had some time with him throughout my draft process.
His career will be remembered a lot for some very heartbreaking losses. He was the coach in Cleveland for their legendary losses in the late 80s, the drive and the fumble, and then some very difficult losses, home playoff losses in Kansas City and then in San Diego. But he was a man who was not defined by winning or losing in football games. He was a really genuinely good man who was loved by the entire football community. So again, the sad news today, at the age of 77, Marty Schottenheimer has died. We will have more coverage of this, of course, as the day continues. And we send our thoughts to his family, including his son, Brian, who has been a coach around the NFL for a very long time. We make the transition from that back to the football news of the day, and it begins with the Super Bowl champions, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the big question they have heading into this offseason. Can they run it back and win it again? That is always the big question for a championship team. Here's their coach, Bruce Arians, addressing it yesterday.
This was a very, very talented football team last year, but we really didn't know how to win. And when you bring a winner in and he's running the ship, it makes it a total difference in your locker room, and knowing that he'd been there and done it, our guys believed it, and it changed our entire football team.
So interesting stuff there, and we can talk a lot about Tom Brady as a leader, but there was one thing that Brady did repeatedly in New England that he may be best served doing again here in Tampa, and it has to do with the salary cap, Dan Graziano. Tell us why that's so important.
Well, I think, you know, they're going to look into extending his contract. He has 1 year left on his contract and $25 million guaranteed money. And the cap numbers are actually higher than that because he hit all of his incentives by winning the Super Bowl. So his cap number is close to $29 million. So they could extend the contract through 2022 and knock down some of that salary cap cost by converting some salary to bonus. And I would imagine that that's something they'll look into and probably do. So, yeah, it's not a matter of taking less. It's a matter of extending the contract out. And I think Brady, who has talked about wanting to play till 45, should be amenable to extending the deal into his age 45 season, if that's what the team needs to do to sign. They've got some free agents that matter. Shaquille Barrett, Chris Godwin, Dominican Sue, Levante David. They have some work to do on that cap.
Critical pieces. Why are you giving me that face, Marcus? What is with the look?
I just thought about something Graz said, and it was upwards of $29 million when incentives, and I was just thinking, you know, when I'm 43 and I can make almost $5 million on some incentives, that's truly living. Tom Brady just keep winning, man. The dude made like he made pocket change in incentives this year because he decided to go win the damn Super Bowl, man. Just, go ahead, Graz. I just love that. I love the fact that Tom Brady got richer for winning another Super Bowl, as if he needed anything else. Let's give you another $5 million just in case you win the Super Bowl by chance.
But let's get to the meat of this here, Jeff Saturday, and that is that he needs those guys. Because you know, and we haven't had a repeat champion in this sport now in almost 20 years. Brady was actually the last one to do it in 03 and 04 in New England. And Jeff Saturday, you know from experience, winning is hard, repeating is harder.
There is no doubt. Listen, it's next to impossible. And all the pieces and parts that you just outlaid on the screen there, whether it's Barrett, whether it's Godwin, you got to get Barrett done. You want to get Godwin done. David, you know, he's 9 years, I think, in Tampa. But it's guys like David, Sue, Gronkowski. It's those type of guys that you really want to keep in the building for inexpensive numbers, right? Because not only do they provide you Sunday help, it's the week leading up that they give you that same help. So it will take some maneuvering, but Tom Brady understands that. And to Graz's point, he's done it his entire career in New England. And think about this. Again, I said it earlier. Seven championships, and all seven championships, he had a top 10 defense. He understands it requires other people taking less to keep this thing together, and I think they will. That's the only chance they have to repeat. Because, listen, it ain't easy. Everybody's giving you the best shot. Ask Kansas City.
Yeah, exactly. Again, to the point, no team has done it since 03 and 04. So that brings us to the odds for next season's Pro Football Championship, and we take a look at them. Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill suggests the Bucs right now are at 9-1. You see Green Bay, they're also 9-1, and it starts with Kansas City, currently the favorite at 11-2, and you see some of the other teams down there. That Los Angeles you see with the N next to it is the Rams for the NFC. And so that brings us to my question here that I put up on Twitter. Who is going to win the Super Bowl next season? It is never too early to start figuring out those things. Marcus Spears, no. I start with you.
I'm picking the Kansas City Chiefs. You crazy? Like, I just saw this team play without their offensive line. They're going to adjust. They're going to try to figure things out. Look, we have lauded how good Veach has been in Kansas City as the GM. We've talked about Andy Reid and what Eric Bieniemy has had the opportunity to do. And not to mention, they're going to get a lot of these guys back as well because their quarterback decided to take a team-friendly deal. I'm picking the Chiefs. And I want to see a mad, pissed-off Patrick Mahomes. I want to see it. I don't know if everybody else wants to see it, but I want to see it. The last time he lost the championship in the AFC, he came back and won league MVP.
Dan Graziano, who you like?
I'm taking the Buffalo Bills. I think they're on an upward trajectory. They got to the conference championship game this year. Sometimes the team that gets its heart broken right toward the end ends up fired up the next year. I think they're well coached. I think they're well quarterbacked. They have a strong roster. They kept the coaching staff together, right? I know Leslie Frazier and Brian Daboll wanted head coach jobs, didn't get them. A lot of continuity there. Give me Buffalo. I know it's hard to repeat as not only Super Bowl champ, but conference champ. So I'm not going to pick either of the two teams that played Sunday.
Jeff, Saturday, what do you think?
I won't play your game, Greeny. Not going to play this game, man. We're 2 days from the Super Bowl. You're asking me about who's going to win it next year. We have had one deal. Stafford leaves and goes, and it changes everybody. I ain't playing this game, man. I ain't going to do it. I won't do it. I won't. Would anybody have picked Tampa Bay last year at this time? Come on.
To give you an indication of just how different we are, not only am I playing the game, not only did I create the game, but I actually am going to be the ultimate prisoner of the moment, and I'm going to tell you it's going to be the Rams because of that trade that they just made for Matthew Stafford. Stafford playing with Sean McVay is going to have a lights-out season. He's finally on a team that is apt as opposed to inept, and he's got the best defense in the sport, including the best defensive player in the sport, whom you just saw in Aaron Donald a moment ago. I've got Matthew Stafford and the Rams to win next year's Super Bowl. Keep that one in mind. Meanwhile, we've got good college basketball coming your way tonight. It's the SEC and the Big Ten, a Big 12 Super Tuesday doubleheader on ESPN 7 Eastern. You got Arkansas heading to Lexington, take on Kentucky. Then it's the matchup of the night in the Big 12. West Virginia taking on Texas Tech in Lubbock. That's tonight on ESPN. As we continue, the interesting oversight from the Cowboys involving Dak Prescott that got his brother's attention and ours as well. Plus, some late news on Patrick Mahomes as we continue in a moment. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Lift every voice and sing. Coming off a summer of protest over police brutality to African Americans, Naomi Osaka decided to use her platform to raise awareness. At every match she played at the 2020 U.S. Open, Osaka wore a face mask with the name of a victim of police brutality, such as Tamir Rice, George Floyd, and Elijah McClain. Osaka would go on to win her second U.S. Open championship.
We continue on Get Up here in our Australian Open second-round coverage. Continues tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN+, Plus, then 9 Eastern on ESPN News, 10 o'clock on ESPN2, highlighted by Serena and Naomi Osaka and Novak Djokovic. All the tennis coming your way here on the family of ESPN Networks. And I welcome you back to our newsroom. I'm Mike Greenberg on Get Up on ESPN with you commercial-free now for the next 12 minutes, and that's when First Take will come your way. Was this the best playoff run by a quarterback ever? They will answer that question and more. Plus, Leonard Fournette will join Stephen A. and Max and Molly. It is First Take. It's coming up after we wrap up here on ESPN. But right now, we have breaking news just into our newsroom. It involves Patrick Mahomes, and Dan Graziano, our insider, has it. Dan, what do we know?
Patrick Mahomes scheduled to have surgery tomorrow on that turf toe injury he suffered in the playoff game against the Browns. This was expected. It was first reported by NFL Network, and ESPN has confirmed it. Mahomes, you know, he should be laid up for a couple of months. It's possible this could cost him some offseason practice time, but it's also possible, even likely, that there won't be much offseason practice time, that the offseason will be virtual, so he might get extra time to rest it. But Patrick Mahomes will have that turf toe surgically repaired apparently tomorrow.
Yeah, clearly. You could see that he was laboring a tad on it at different times. He obviously ran the ball effectively, and as we told you earlier, he ran 497 yards on the field prior to passes and sacks, the most of any game this season. But how big a deal, Marcus, the turf toe, how significant is this that he will have the surgery tomorrow?
It's significant for me because he did all of that in a Super Bowl with turf toe. That's what's significant to me now that I think about it. Like, being under all of that duress, scrambling for as many yards as he had to scramble for, and then almost making enough plays to at least give the Kansas City Chiefs team a chance to win this game was unbelievable, now that you think about it. But I was hoping the breaking news was going to be Patrick Mahomes wanted out of Kansas City. I just want some beef. I want some juiciness. I wanted that type. But just go and get it fixed, man. Go get it fixed. Take care of what you need to take care of. Young player, he'll be fine. He'll come back for it. I'm more impressed with what he did in the Super Bowl based on this information Grimes just told us, man.
Jeff?
Yeah, listen, I think this is actually more serious than people are going to give it credit for. My toe was one of the reasons why I ended up retiring out of Green Bay. Listen, you got to get your feet right. And you saw how labored he was, in the playoffs. And again, what happened in the Super Bowl, I think, you take a pain shot or whatever and you kind of deal with it. But that's no joke, man. And that's one of those things that can get re-injured really quickly. So you hope the surgery goes well. Take the time. Really rest it. Don't rush it back. You got plenty of time. Make sure you take care of your body. It's those little nagging injuries that can come back to you as your career. He's still a young guy, man. I mean, so we want to see this guy for a long, long time. Not just a long, like long, long. So make sure you take care of that body and handle your business this offseason.
All right, so again, the news, and it's not a surprise, but it is significant nonetheless that Patrick Mahomes will have surgery for the turf toe tomorrow. Now, to the point you made a moment ago, Marcus, Patrick Mahomes is not asking out of Kansas City, but it feels sometimes like he's the only quarterback who is staying put because the offseason is now officially here. And in case you haven't heard, we should be expecting a lot of changes at the quarterback position. As many as 18 quarterbacks will change teams, according to our Adam Schefter. So buckle up, because this quarterback carousel is going to be a bumpy ride.
We've told you the quarterback carousel is going to spin, so here it comes.
In this game, where the stakes could not possibly be higher, the first dominoes have fallen.
Matthew Stafford is a Ram. Jared Goff is a Lion.
But this quarterback carousel will keep on spinning, and the questions will ensure a wild ride that lasts the entire offseason. The dominant piece, of course, is Deshaun Watson, who absolutely wants out of Houston. What is no mystery, however, is that last year, the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers' replacement. All he did in response was have an MVP season. What will he make the team do now to keep him happy?
There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason.
Carson Wentz won a power struggle with Doug Peterson, but it looks like the Eagles will still move him. Want more? What if Matt Ryan ends up in Indy? How about Kirk Cousins shipped to San Francisco? And then Jimmy G reunited with Bill Belichick in Foxborough. Then there are the legends. Not this one, but these. What will Drew do? The Saint star has talked of retirement. It's not yet official. Big Ben has a decision to make. Will he keep plugging away in Pittsburgh at a reduced rate, or will he walk away? And speaking of decisions, the Cowboys and Dak have tens of millions of reasons to make one. Then there is the draft, where Mel and McShay project as many as 5 quarterbacks in round 1. Buckle up, because if you thought a season ending with Brady and Mahomes in the Super Bowl was wild, you ain't seen nothing yet. This carousel has just barely begun to spin. And it could wind up unprecedentedly interesting when it comes to an end. You see the number there. The most league-wide starting quarterback turnover from one season opener to the next is 16 in 1999, and that didn't include the Browns, who actually were re-entering the league that year. So there's two I want to focus in on here. The first of them is Carson Wentz. Dan Graziano, we had the reporting over the weekend from Shefty that says not only that he expects Wentz to be traded, but that it could come as soon as this week. What is the latest in Philly?
It could if Philly gets what they're looking for in a trade. So far they haven't, and they've been asking for a lot. So far the other teams haven't been willing to pay that. The hope is that they can get a couple teams interested and play them off each other. We've heard the Colts, we've heard the Bears. Those are two strong possibilities. But the Eagles have to pay Carson Wentz a $10 million roster bonus on March 20th, so they would like it done before then. Could stretch out a little bit. Also could happen this week if, again, someone meets their price.
So there are two different ways to look at this thing, Marcus, and one of them is this. I think there was a perception, I had it, that Wentz had won a power struggle with his now former coach, Doug Peterson, and that they were sort of building everything around him. They brought in a guy people are jokingly calling Frank Reich Jr. to be their head coach, just to sort of put everything in place for him. The fact that he continues to want out, I think a lot of people will feel some kind of way about that. How do you feel about it, Marcus Spears?
Yeah, I feel some kind of way about it, especially when the organization seemingly made all of the changes in order to keep you and keep you comfortable. But I just want Carson Wentz not to realize it's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy. This is the hardest position to play in professional sports, and you're going to deal with some issues and some things that arise throughout the season and throughout your career that you have to overcome. So look, I'm done with talking about Carson Wentz needs to be mentally tough. Carson Wentz needs to look at my pen like Men in Black. Let me flash this thing. Him forget about all of this year and move on somewhere so he can be better on the next go around. But he has to go into a locker room and prove that he's a guy that can stand the test of time when times get tough.
Jeff, you're still buying into him though, right? You're still a fan.
Yeah, listen, everybody tried to compare him to Goff in the trade instead of Stafford. But I think, look, he had no offensive line because of just injuries, and it was just decimated. No real run game, no real guys on the outside. And you saw what Mahomes looked like in the Super Bowl when his line was ravaged by injury. What you're asking him to do, did he have a lot of mental breakdowns? For sure. But can he get back to what he was before last season? I absolutely think so. And I think he carried that team 2 years ago into the playoffs without anybody. I think he needs a new start in a new place, but I think eventually he'll come back and be a strong quarterback in this league.
Okay, so we will see. That's one situation. There's another today. I was reading a story this morning in the Dallas Morning News, and this is a story that I think may not be important, but it is extremely interesting. The Dallas Cowboys verified Twitter feed released a hype video. It is a 32-second video. We're going to show it to you right now. It is a 32-second hype video for their upcoming season. And on it, you are going to see, you see all of their trophies, and you're going to see a lot of their legends like Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith. And then as it goes on, for 32 seconds, you're going to see a whole bunch of current players. And very noticeably, one of them is not Dak Prescott. There is no shot of, no mention of, no indication of, no proof of the existence of Dak Prescott, the franchise quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And if you don't think this is interesting, I can tell you that at least his brother, Tad, friend of the show, does think so. He quote tweeted it, and look at the emoji he's got. He said, oh, I see, very interesting. They leave him out of the video. So, again, it is interesting if not important. No one here is suggesting that Jerry and Stephen Jones told them, don't put Dak in the video. So no one is saying that. But that doesn't mean this doesn't feel a little bit significant, Marcus Spears.
Hell yeah, it's significant. Man, I don't want to be upset about this, G, but you always bringing up this Dallas stuff to make me mad. I'm holding a pen with hearts in it that belongs to my little baby girl so I can calm myself down. She said, Daddy, hold this as a reminder when you get hyped to just settle yourself down. But, G, you're doing it to me. And everybody understands this. Read the room, Dallas Cowboys social team. Understand what has been transpiring for the last 3 years. Understand that you really actually need this guy to be the quarterback. Every piece of media information that goes out should be celebrating Dak Prescott. Read the room. The other thing is this, G. Here's the kicker. The thing about what's been transpiring with Dak Prescott, and we see Tad Prescott putting these rebuttals and these responses to all of the things that's transpiring in Dallas, this is like, gee, you having one of them highfalutin parties. You know how y'all rich people do. Y'all invite people to y'all house. You go through a different entry. You don't actually walk through the house. You got to go around the house, and then you got a big pretty setup in the backyard with lights hanging from trees and all of that stuff. And then you come up to me and say, hey, Marcus, I'm glad you came, and I'm holding a bottle of red wine. It's probably too cheap for you, but it'll be good for most people. And you like, hey, Marcus, that's a nice bottle of red wine. And in your mind, G, you thinking this dude has been invited to my house and my party, so he bringing me some red wine. And then I turn to the left and give Jeff Saturday the red wine and be like, Jeff, I'm so glad you're here. You know, this is your gift. That's what this is. Dak Prescott is inviting people to the party of the Dallas Cowboys. Acknowledge the man every time you send out some media stuff. Okay, I'm done.
Jeff, what do you think?
Still got the pen.
Painful. Hey, listen, painfully stupid. That's what this Cowboy, painfully stupid. Like, listen, sinners look for themselves in these hype videos. Like, just my shoe, like when I'm going to snap it to Peyton, you know, or like the edge of my jersey where you can see the three. Like, it starts with your starting quarterback. It starts with the guy who's about to hit you over the head for $30-plus million and maybe 50 the next year. This is absolutely ridiculous that he's not in this video. It's an embarrassment. It is not an oversight. And I hope that Kirk Cousins him one more time. Go get him. Hey, and send me a snake from Texas too, baby. That's all I'm asking.
We are out of time. Once again, we did not claim it was important, but it is unquestionably interesting. Thank you so much for getting up with us today. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.